This is NPR Illinois. Last week's shootings in Dallas, Minnesota, and Louisiana have renewed attention on the relationship between police officers and African-American citizens. Earlier this week on Illinois Edition, we heard from several activists with the Black Lives Matter movement. Today, we're going to hear from across the protest line. I'm Brian Mackey, and on Monday, I spoke with Chris Southwood, the president of the Illinois Lodge of the Fraternal Order of Police. What are you hearing from your members in the wake of the events last week?
Well, obviously our members are heartbroken. Our hearts go out to our brothers and sisters in the Dallas, Texas area. I think as time goes on, there's obviously some anger, some frustration, but mainly right now, heartbreak.
Do you draw a connection between some of the protest movement that's sprung up in the last couple of years, this Black Lives Matter movement, and what happened in Dallas?
Well, I don't know if the individual was a member of Black Lives Matter. Certainly his comments would indicate that he had some hate for, obviously, police officers, white police officers specifically. Do I draw a correlation? I would say, based on some of the tweets and those kind of things that I saw coming from supporters and members of Black Lives Matter, I would say there's somewhat of a connection, certainly.
How has the role of the law enforcement officer changed in the past couple of years since this protest movement really started ramping up after Ferguson and some of the other cities' names that have become so familiar now?
Well, I think clearly it's changed, changed dramatically. And I don't believe necessarily that it's changed for the better. I think that social media has had a tremendous impact on law enforcement. And it's without a doubt, unfortunately, what we're seeing or what I'm seeing is our officers are being tried in the public opinion based on snippets or small portions of something that they've seen. Or something that's been played on social media, cell phone video, whatever. But unfortunately, these oftentimes don't capture the totality of the entire circumstances surrounding what incident ever happened. And I think that that's having a dramatic impact. And, it's far-reaching. I mean, when you look at the cities across the country, even state agencies, city agencies that are having problems filling their ranks, problems with recruiting. At some point, I think you have to sit back and say, this has to end. If it doesn't, where are we going to be? Are we going to be without police?
We heard Mayor Rahm Emanuel in Chicago last year, before even that video had come out that caused so much consternation up there, saying that the Chicago police officers had gone fetal, in his words. Is that something that you acknowledge? Is that a factor in how officers are going about their daily routines?
Well, I absolutely believe that there is something to the idea of the Ferguson effect. I mean, I don't know how you can look at the numbers of traffic stops and police stops, and certainly the city of Chicago stops, how you can look at those stats and see how much they've fallen off and not believe that there isn't some type of a Ferguson effect. But I don't think, I still believe police officers are answering the call. They're still doing their duty. When I saw the images happening in Dallas the other night, the one thing that really, struck me was the fact that every police officer I saw was going towards the fire. He was going towards gunfire. And a lot of the protesters who, as you know, were there to actually protest the actions of police officers were running away. And how sadly ironic that five police officers lost their lives defending a group of people who were protesting the work that they do. Tragic.
You mentioned a little while ago that social media has sort of changed the dynamic for being a police officer. I think I've heard some people on the activist side of things saying that it's been a force for good, right? Because these are incidents that might not have gotten the attention that they've gotten now. But you see it as a potentially a downside.
I didn't mean that it was necessarily bad. What's bad is when I think people jump to conclusions. When they see a small part of a cell phone video And they jump to the conclusion that, well, see, that shows the officer did something wrong or was wrong in what he did. And I think we have to start, I don't know why we haven't learned from these past mistakes. Ferguson, for instance, you have to see the total situation before you should sit down and make a judgment. And certainly before you could find an officer guilty in your perception, you need to slow down, I think, and wait for the people that are doing the completing the investigations to complete their investigations before we draw too quick of a conclusion that the officer did something wrong. And I go back to Darren Wilson in Ferguson, the officer that shot Michael Brown, completely vindicated today. No civil rights violations, found completely vindicated. And yet I still hear people refer to what happened in Ferguson, and they still go back to the perception that was put out when that first happened, which was that he had somehow shot Michael Brown in the back. And that's been shown to be nothing farther from the truth. So social media, good or bad, it doesn't really make a difference. It's here to stay. And I would just caution that before you see, when you see a small, short snippet of a cell phone video or whatever, try to understand that there could be more to the story, and almost always is.
Do you think is there a problem where there's too much of a wall of silence or a disincentive for trying to do the right thing? I was struck in reading a story about the Dallas police chief that there had been one of his, I can't recall if it was a sergeant or a lieutenant, who had disciplined some of his officers for some malfeasance, and he made it clear that you are not to retaliate against this guy, you know, that the chief had kind of made it that, you know, if you do something wrong, you should get turned in for it.
I mean, I would venture to say that 99.8% of law enforcement officers out there are good law enforcement officers. I mean, look at the statistics. Look at how many contacts we have on a daily basis. Tens of thousands of interactions between police officers and citizens. Tens and thousands, and yet so few are even, you know, reported as bad or whatever. I mean, it's incredible to me that with the number of interactions we have with, to me, it just clearly shows how professional our police officers are across the nation, not here in Illinois, but across the nation. When you have so many contacts with the public, and yet so few of these bad apple incidents. And let's go back and let's examine some of the bad apple incidents. For instance, do you believe Ferguson was a bad apple police officer? A lot of people say, well, yeah. Really? The officer was completely vindicated in his actions, completely justified. When you look at what happened in Baltimore with Freddie Gray, those officers are being vindicated. Those officers are coming out. And so I think even the ones that I think are initially perceived as bad apples, fewer of those are actually found to be in violation. So we have so few that tarnish the badge and so many that honorably serve that, I mean, it's minuscule. And I don't, you know, there's always going to be problems out there and they should be dealt with. I have no problem. No police officer wants to deal with a police officer. But one of the things that I've heard lately, you know, is this perception out there of systematic racism within police departments or within, you know, police officers or law enforcement across the nation. And that's hogwash. I dedicated over a quarter of a century of my life to protecting and serving. I have worked with thousands of police officers here in Illinois, state, local, federal. I obviously got to know many more serving in the capacity that I serve now. And I have never, ever known a police officer, never known one that said, I can't wait to go to work tonight so I can go out and harass a minority or do whatever. The idea that that's prevalent within law enforcement across the nation is really offensive to me. You know, I used to scoff at it, but now it's offensive. It makes me angry because it's simply not true. It's simply not true in any place that I've served. It is absolutely not true.
So you reject the notion that African Americans, Latinos are subject to more unconstitutional policing methods?
Based on my experience as a police officer out there on the street, I reject that 100%. Absolutely, without question.
This is Illinois Edition. I'm Brian Mackey. We're hearing from Chris Southwood, the president of the Illinois Fraternal Order of Police. We'll get back to that conversation in a moment, but first, I want to play some of what President Obama said in the immediate aftermath of last week's shooting of police officers in Dallas.
I will have more to say about this as the facts become more clear. For now, let me just say that even as yesterday I spoke about our need to be concerned as all Americans about racial disparities in our criminal justice system, I also said yesterday that our police have an extraordinarily difficult job, and the vast majority of them do their job in outstanding fashion. I also indicated the degree to which we need to be supportive of those officers who do their job each and every day, protecting us and protecting our communities. Today is a wrenching reminder of the sacrifices that they make for us.
In a statement you put out shortly after the Dallas incident, you referred to President Obama, expressed disappointment with the president, saying he had vowed to unite us, but now we're more divided than ever. You said people think it's okay to demonize and wage violence against police officers, and this is the situation the president has done little to correct.
I stand by that statement, and you know, I have taken some flack over that, but I stand by that statement. When you go clear back to 2009 with the incident, and I can't remember, it was a Harvard law professor or whatever that was...
This is the beer summit at the White House.
Exactly. I'm trying to remember the officer's name, but it eludes me right now. But initially, the president, made statements that the officer acted stupidly. I don't know what the officer ever did to act stupidly, as a matter of fact. But once again, what I see here is a quick judgment of a situation that you didn't necessarily have all the facts. You know, flash forward to, Trayvon Martin, that shooting situation. And
of course, that wasn't a police officer.
It was not. It was not. But quick jump to conclusion. I believe he made the statement then, if I had a son, he would be something along those lines. Ferguson, look what happened there. There were things done immediately by the president. Almost seemed to, immediately find fault with the officer there. Sent the Justice Department in quickly. For how long was it allowed this notion that Michael Brown was shot in the back, the hands up, don't shoot nonsense that went on and the media is a little bit to blame there too. I mean, without a doubt, but this continuing, what I see as an individual who's, obviously a very powerful individual, and I don't understand why he hasn't learned from his past mistakes to be cautious. In the initial phases when something like this happens. Don't come out and make inflammatory statements and certainly no divisive statements. I don't know what changes are going to come. I can only say that change has to come. It has to come. We have to stop this. We just do. It has to stop.
And just to be clear, when you say it, what are we talking about?
I'm talking about the targeted violence against police officers. That has to stop, and the rhetoric surrounding it has to stop. It has to stop.
Are police safer today, though, than they've been in a long time in terms of overall, if you look at the statistics over the past couple of decades, that fewer police are the victims of, how do I say this? Not a traffic accident or a truck driver falls asleep at the wheel or something like that, but actually somebody setting out to kill them.
Well, I don't think so at all. I mean, I think ambush-style police shootings are on the rise. I mean, we've had three of them in the last 36 hours across the nation. Nobody's talking about them. That's what I'm referring to. And if I'll tell you right now, I have a son who today's his first day with his field training officer. He's a trooper, not here in Illinois, but it's tough for me. Very proud of my son, very proud of him for what he's went through, and thank goodness he had the fortitude to choose this path, and he answered the call to serve. But, I don't know if that's the choice I could have made for him if I could have made another choice today. So,
you mentioned that
you haven't encountered this idea of systematic racism. And I think that there are people who will say, you know, yeah, it may not be that these are all white supremacists or anything. There's not that sort of overt racism, but that the policies that have been enacted in terms of prosecuting the drug war, petty offenses, this broken windows idea of policing that was so popular 10, 20 years ago, that some of those things have led to, if you look at the Illinois prisons, for example, there are significantly more African Americans there as a share of the population in Illinois than white citizens of Illinois. Do you have any sense of that being a factor in any of the unrest that we've seen in the last couple of years?
Well, yeah, I can only go back and comment that, you know, the thousands of police officers that I worked with then and the ones that I know now, we have never, ever, that I know of, I have never seen it, we don't target collar. No police officer I ever worked with targeted collar. We target criminals. It doesn't matter what collar they are. That's really the only way that I can look back on my, you know, 27 plus years in my career. I never collared. I never targeted collar. We targeted cririminals. That's what we did.
And no profiling that you ever saw.
Well, you know, there was a time when profiling was certainly accepted, but not profiling racially. There was no racial type profiling. It was, you know, certainly not racial profiling.
What role can the FOP play in bringing an end to the unrest we've seen in the last couple of years?
I think we have to get out there. We have to meet with community leaders, faith-based leaders, community leaders. We need to establish a relationship with them. We need to have some open, honest communication, open from both sides. I think we can sit down and we're going to get through this. How fast we get through it, how well we get through it, depends on whether or not we can come together and unite, and the leaders can bring us together and stop the divisiveness. Let's stop this divisiveness that's going on right now. Let's stop the, you know this, because I really do think when you claim this racial picture, you claim that, you know, these claims are ridiculous to me, and we have to stop that. We really do. It has to stop.
Chris Southwood is head of the Illinois Lodge of the Fraternal Order of Police. You can find our conversation with activists in the Black Lives Matter movement at our website, illinoisedition.org. This is NPR Illinois. I'm Brian Mackey.